Let us share in it together in unison. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From hence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Hear now a word from on high, beginning with 2 Samuel, the 23rd chapter, verses 1 through 7. Now these are the last words of David, the oracle of David, son of Jesse, the oracle of the man whom God exalted, the anointed of the God of Jacob, the favorite of the strong one of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord speaks through me. His word is upon my tongue. The God of Israel has spoken. The Rock of Israel has said to me, one who rules over people justly, ruling in the fear of God, is like the light of morning, like the sun rising on a cloudless morning, gleaming from the rain on the grassy land. Is not my house like this with God? For he has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and secure. Will he not cause to prosper all my help and my desire? But the godless are all like thorns that are thrown away, for they cannot be picked up with the hand. To touch them, one uses an iron bar or the shaft of a spear, and they are entirely consumed in fire on the spot. Now from the Gospel of John's 18th chapter, beginning with verse 33. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Beloved, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us pray. Search me, O Lord, and see if there's any wickedness in me. Yes. Purge my heart, Lord, from every evil conscience, from guilt, O God, and from every form of malice. Purify my heart, Lord, and cause it to be a dwelling place for your spirit. We pray thus, O God, as a church, asking, O God, that in your presence you shall walk in us this morning, and make us a dwelling place for your spirit. And make this place, O God, a holy church, sanctified for the Master's use.
Yes.
To you be all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
My reading is still from where we read in the book of John, chapter 18, from verse 33. Then Pilate entered into the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." This morning we are looking at, I just want us to talk briefly about the kingdom of the world versus the church. I want to just start saying or reminding us once again that the church is a called out people.
Yes.
The church is a special people that has been called out from the world, called in unto God.
Yes.
And if we are called out from the world, then it means or should be that we have also been called out from everything that represents the world. And when we look at the church today, do we really see a people that has been called out or that has left everything that represents the world? Are we really showing up who we ought to be as a church? Or are we still struggling with things that is of the world, even while we are in the church? It's time to make a decision, either to continue occupying the world and enjoying the world, or abandon the world and be called unto God and live as God's people. There is the kingdom of the world, and there is the kingdom of God. Even though we are still in the world, Jesus says we are not of the world. Mm-hmm. Yes. Meaning that while we still live here, we are not made of. There is a transformation that has taken place in our lives that has transformed us from who we were and has made us who we ought to be. Because man was created in the image of God. But at a particular point, man disappointed God and picked up a different image, which is image of Satan. But yet, Jesus came and restored man again. As many as believe in him, there is a transformation that has taken off the nature of Satan in them and has embedded in them again the nature of God. And that is why they are called the church. And of course, if someone has not experienced this transformation, he is not of God. Neither does he or she belong to God. Of course, Jesus, the Bible says, is coming to rapture a perfect church. A church without blemish. A church without wrinkles. A church that is void of sin. A pure and a holy church. But do we see those in the church today? Is everybody that represents that is sitting in the church that call himself a church member, whether of Ebenezer or of any other place, do we really understand that there is a difference between you and the people of the world?
Yes.
The biggest problem is when you are in the church and you are also dragging the world. You want to be in the church, and you also want to be popular, known, king of the kingdom of the world. Jesus told Pilate, my kingdom is not here. Even though my people handed me over to you, they falsely accused me, which I thank God that even an unbelieving king, a king that never knew God, said, I did not find any fault in this man. But Jesus said, the problem is that my kingdom is not here. So why should I fight to be here? And that, I want to pause a little bit in that statement of Jesus. My kingdom is not here. And then you ask yourself, is your kingdom here? And then you have to answer, and your conscience will take you through some things. Some of the things that takes you away from worshiping God. Some of the things that takes you away from being a good representative of Jesus. Those malice, those wickedness, those gossips. I know. It's always a tradition. In every church, some people will think that, oh, without me, there will be no Ebenezer. But I want to announce to you that 20 years ago, there were people that said without them, there will be no Ebenezer.
Right.
And they are no longer here now. And Ebenezer is still here.
Yes.
So if you are here now and you think that without you, there will be no Ebenezer, I tell you, you will pass and go, and Ebenezer will continue. For no single man or woman is called Ebenezer. Ebenezer is a name given to a church, a group of people that have been separated unto God. And without Joshua, Ebenezer will be and continue to be. Because Ebenezer does not belong to Joshua. Ebenezer is the church of Jesus Christ. And Ebenezer belongs to Jesus Christ. And as long as Jesus lives, Ebenezer will go on.
Amen.
It is people that believe that here is their kingdom. They are so much interested in fame and name that they struggle, they fight, they quarrel. Oh, you want to take my position? Oh, you want to do this? I won't allow it. And there is gossiping. Here, there. And there is backbiting here, there. Character deformation everywhere. What are we fighting for? Is our kingdom here? For it is appointed unto man once to die. But you should think about what happens to you after you are dead. Where are you going to find yourself? If you drag and drag and drag and takes everything and becomes everybody, if everybody runs away for you from Ebenezer, are you going to be single-handedly be Ebenezer? No way. What is the quarreling? What is the fighting? What is the gossiping? What is the backbiting? A church that has been separated from the world. A church separated from enmity to love. A church separated from gossip to encouragement. Because the Bible says that we should not avoid the gathering of ourselves together as others do. But when we come together, we should encourage one another. There is one thing I want you to keep in mind today, and there is one question I want you to continue asking yourself. In a house, there is, in the house of God, there is pillars, and there are caterpillars too. You know what caterpillars do? Pillars uphold the wall, the church, the building. Caterpillars pulls down the building. You only bring caterpillar to pull down this house, and in a second, the house is down. And ask yourself, are you a pillar or are you a caterpillar? Are you building or are you pulling down? It might look little in your eyes. That little gossip might look little. It might look like nothing in your eyes. But know it that you are gradually digging on the foundation of the church to pull it down. And I want to tell you that nobody will put the body of Jesus Christ and go scot-free. I am talking the way I'm talking this morning because I could see that if we don't take careful and take caution to ourselves, we might face the wrath of God. Because of our little, the Bible says it is little thing that spoils the vine. Brother and sister, our kingdom is not here. We are dragging nothing here. People that think that their kingdom is here, they are ready to kill to get the position they want. Why should we have that happening in the world, in the world of politics? And why should we also have it happening in the church? Why do you want to slander your brother and bring him down? Why do you want to falsely accuse your sister and bring him down? What of what benefit shall it be to you? The church is one foundation. And Jesus is the Lord. And every member of the church is somebody. Because with our little contributions, I'm not talking about money, with our little contributions in anywhere in the church is built. Yes. So everybody is important. Whether you sweep the church or you preach in the pulpit as I'm preaching now, we are all important. Because if everybody becomes preachers, who then will sweep the church? And what happiness will I have as a preacher preaching in a dirty church? Where the people that are listening to me are not comfortable. My preaching will be of no use, no matter how much anointed I am. So don't look down on yourself. Neither allow any man to look down on you. Because we are all precious in the sight of God. Close your ears if somebody either on phone, do you know, sister? Oh, thank you. I don't want to hear. Run for your dear life. Don't allow something you don't know to bring you to become an enemy of God. Mind who is your friend. Mind what you talk. Let every man, every woman, mind his or her business. Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. Yes. Out there, we see people killing, doing all kinds of things, manipulating to become whatever they want to become. Doing all kinds of evil, slandering. Before the election, people were saying some nonsenses about each other. Some of them are not true. Why are they saying it? To destroy the person so that the people will not vote for it, right? And we all say, oh, these people are evil. But don't we have them in the church too? Don't we have them? If your brother you feel is not doing well, pray for him. Your prayer will help him to do better. We all should worship together in love. We all should see one another as the same thing. We are of the same Father and we are of the same Mother as long as the Jesus is concerned. Yes. The only thing that brings us together here is just Jesus. And he is the Father of all. Therefore, let all anger, let all malice, let all rancor, let all evil plots cease. For such things do the wrath of God come upon the children of disobedience. Yes. People do all this to gain the world. People do all this to gain popularity. People do all this to gain whatever. Look at Jesus, a man that did nothing, but the priest and the people handed him over to be crucified. Pilate asked, "What did you do? Because I found no guilt on you." Jesus says, "Never mind, my kingdom is not of this world." What does it take Jesus to raise one hand and there are battalions of angels that will consume the whole city in a second?
Yes.
He has the power to do it and can do it. But why? Why must he do it? Because he doesn't belong here. He is going somewhere. And two, you and I, we don't belong here. We are going somewhere. Jesus says, "I go to prepare a place for you. And when I prepare a place for you, I will come back and I will take you that where I am, there you may be also." Mind the word, may. He didn't say there you will be also. You may. Depending on whether you choose here or you choose there. Because you might be here and Jesus is preparing a place, but you prefer to be here. He wouldn't force you. It's all about attitudes. It's all about our way of life. It's all about our relationships and interrelationships. Please, 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 please. For me, no man can take me away from this thing I have suffered for years. I don't want to hear the story because one little story can cause you to backslide. And Jesus says, whoever that will cause one of these little ones to go astray, it is better that a millstone is tied on his neck and be thrown into the river.
Yes.
Instead of leading astray one person, let us all watch it. Bible says, be vigilant because your adversary, the enemy, the devil, he goes about seeking whom he may devour.
Yes.
I pray that he will not devour me. I pray that he will not devour you. I pray that we will watch. I pray that we'll become focused on the kingdom where we belong. Do all it takes to be there. It takes preparation to be in the kingdom of God.
Yes.
It takes conscious preparation. And this preparation is not once and for all. It's not the day you are baptized. Then because you are baptized, you belong there. No, it doesn't work that way. It means that baptism is a confirmation of your proclamation. Now, continuation of the proclamation and putting the proclamation into action is things that prepare you to belong there.
Yes.
I tell you, it is not a place of regret, but it is a place of joy. It is a place of peace. The place we are talking about is far better than where we are now. It is a place where there will be no sickness. We don't need hospitals. It's a place where there will be no death. The Bible says that eyes have never seen. Ears have never heard. It has never entered the heart of man. The place, the beauty, and the goodness of where you are going to. Think about the most beautiful place, Paris, in the world. That one has been seen, but this one, the Bible says it has never been seen. there is a beautiful home, a home of rest, a home of peace, where we are going. Therefore, do all diligence to make your election sure. God has elected you. God has chosen you and has brought you into his house to be nurtured and to be prepared. Therefore, focus on things that matters and forget about things that distract. Don't give yourself to distraction. There is a lot to do to continue remaining in the line. Therefore, put all your energies in pleasing God. Put all your energies in loving. Don't hate. You have no reason to hate no man. Don't gossip because you are not better than that person you are gossiping about. As you gossip about me, somebody is also gossiping about you. So nobody is good. Jesus says, why call me good man? For no man is good except my Father. So if I am not better than you, why will I gossip about you? I will focus that energy of gossip in making my life better. And if I think you need, I can pray for you. Therefore, let us do that pleases God. Let us do that gives God glory. Let us be committed to making sure that this gospel is preached to throughout the whole world. Let us make sure that this local body of Christ thrives and accomplishes all that God has in plan for them. God has a great plan for Ebenezer. Yes. And we have not even scratched the plan. Mm. We need a lot of energy to make sure that we accomplish that is in the heart of God. Mm-hmm. So that when we shall see him, he will say, welcome, my son. Welcome, my daughter. Mm-hmm. You are faithful in all that I've committed into your hand. Therefore, I will give you a greater kingdom. You are not going to regret it. Therefore, let us give ourselves. That was why I prayed that prayer, and that should be your daily prayer. Lord, search my heart and see if there is any evil in my heart, any evil thought, any evil imagination, any wickedness. Search me. David, that was a constant prayer of Mr. David. He opened himself to God at all times and said, Lord, search me and let me know what are the things that are not according to you in my life. Mm-hmm. Brother and sister, this God we have come to serve is a good God. Yes. It's a God to be reckoned with. He's a loving God. He's a caring God. He can care for you more than anybody else can do. Yes. Give him a trial. Commit yourself, commit your life, and take away from every distraction. Because in the house of God, there are vessels of wood, there are vessels of mud, there are vessels of silver, and there are vessels of gold. Mm-hmm. Why can't you be good in the house of God? Why can't you allow the fire of God's word to purge you and to cleanse you and to make you to shine? And to make you a gold in the hand of God. Yes. This scripture, I read this scripture in 1993, and that scripture meant a lot. This scripture we read today, it meant a lot and changed my life a lot. And that was why I'm so happy to talk about this scripture again today. That was over 30 or close to 30 years, and that scripture is still guiding me, because when I deal with people, I look at things. Are we going to fight? What am I fighting for? Sometimes, why don't you allow yourself to be cheated? That's the problem. I know my right. I know my right. But your right, fighting for your right, might make you a seeker of the kingdom of the world. Why don't you allow your right to go if that will bring shame to the gospel? If fighting for your right will turn you to somebody you are not, or you are not supposed to be, why don't you let go? Let go and let God. Yes. Let go and let God. God is the best person to avenge. He says, leave vengeance for me, for I surely will revenge on your behalf. Why then do we want to revenge? Why do we fight with one another? Why do we rack shoulders? I will show you what I'm made of. Well, if I am right, you are made of love. So if you are showing anything apart from love, then you are wrong. So when you rub shoulders, I will show you what I am made of. A Christian, well, I should think that you are made of love. And because you are made of love, you shouldn't fight. What benefit shall it be to us if we gain the whole world and lose our soul in hell? May God help us. Thank you.